You're listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com.
Mike tossed the remains of the Iron Butterfly's computer to the ground. He'd trashed Tootsie, too, but he needed her to keep the ship flying, even if it had to be by force. The Iron Butterfly didn't. They'd swapped out the computers. That much Mike remembered. A good ruse, but a failed one. With Tootsie too occupied with keeping the ship flying, and as best as Mike could tell, at great speeds, even beyond regulation hyperspeeds, he would finally be able to get a good fire going. The Iron Butterfly's computer had kept putting them out. The only way to get them all off the ship without damaging the ship too greatly would be to fill it with smoke. Tootsie, too occupied with keeping the ship flying, wouldn't be able to ventilate the ship. He had also gotten into the engineering room and set the control so Tootsie wouldn't be able to slow down, even if she wanted to. Not until the crew left the ship, and he was the only remaining occupant. The boss would be so proud. Mike scurried around the cargo bay and collected all the flammable material he could find. He'd nearly run out of items to burn and had resorted to lighting the containers Vic had gotten from Rado. It didn't matter what they contained, just as long as the paint on them would burn. That's all that mattered. The blaster he'd gotten from the weapons room, one of June's, had been adjusted to produce a fine, hot point. He focused the point on a small pile of already scorched tarp. It took several seconds, but finally caught. Mike clenched his jaw and backed away to admire his work. The fire spread quickly onto the container's painted exterior, and black smoke billowed up from it. He had picked the container closest to the ladder, to the rest of the ship, so the smoke would spread quickly.
"What are you doing?"
Mike wheeled about. Something with strange branch legs and an eye stalk stood at the top of the ladder of the cargo bay, staring at what Mike had just done. Mike noticed small amounts of greenish slime in the middle of the body.
"Zooped up!"
"Yes, I must tell Vic."
Mike leapt with astonishing speed and scrambled up the ladder. He had to catch Zoopnot before the creature could reveal the plan. The boss wouldn't tolerate another failure. Mike wouldn't allow himself to fail this time. Even though the boss said no more killing, this one had to die. At the top of the ladder, he saw Zoopnot slip into the bunk room. Mike raced across the floor, and without a thought of anything else, he reached and caught Zoopnot by one of its branch legs.
"No!"
Mike paused. He saw Dexter, Vic, Joey, and June all in bunks and apparently asleep. His eyes darted from one to the next. They all looked hurt. Beyond that, they all looked like easy prey.
"Put me down."
Mike grabbed two more of Jupnop's appendages. His breathing had slowed, and he didn't notice the black smoke now filling the passageway. All he could see was food. Involuntarily, his fangs lowered slightly. He needed to eat. Just one. How could the boss know one of them didn't die in an accident, especially if the body never left the ship? His own people wouldn't question. He ripped off one of Jupnop's appendages, causing a squeal of pain. Mike hardly noticed. With four of his hands, he slowly, mercilessly tore Zoopnot to pieces, despite the squeals of pain and protest. When he dropped the limp, sliming goo that remained of Zoopnot and wiped his hands on the floor, he looked over each of the bodies. The boss expected at least Vic and June. He had no intention of eating either of them. He focused on Dexter for a moment. He would love to eat the little one. It was his fault that everything had gone wrong in the first place. If Dexter hadn't knocked Mike out, he would have been able to kill off Vic and June with no trouble and would have done away with the rest of the crew as well. But no, Dexter would have to await his fate with the boss as well. That left one, Joey, a tender young human, soft and sweet. Mike's fangs dropped down and his eyes widened. Yes, just a bite, something to satisfy the craving. Killing Zoopnot hadn't done anything. He wanted to feel his prey squirm and fight. Joey had fight. Joey had also been instrumental in the failure. The boy had to die. Mike crawled up into the rack with Joey and raised his fangs.
"What are you two laughing at?"
Sheriff Justice asked with an air of annoyance. They had been giggling and snickering like a couple of schoolgirls for nearly 5 minutes, and his patience had been pressed. If he had his riding crop, he would have whipped them into silence. One of the officers turned and looked up, his eyes wide with fear, and he swallowed hard.
"Well, sir, we're just looking at the speed at which the SS Acid was pulling away. We're already moving at the limit this ship will move, yet they're pulling away."
"Am I on a ship of idiots? Are you all really that stupid? Of course they're pulling away from us. They're near a black hole, and it's pulling them along. It's called gravity. We'll move along as fast as they do in a few minutes. If we were to try and go around, they'd get away.
But, sir, another officer chimed in, won't our ship fall apart?
If that old hunk of junk can go in between two black holes and come out the other end, so can we. The apprehension is...
A force caused the ship to lurch, and Sheriff Justice lost his balance. He fell into the lap of one of the officers. He fought to regain his balance.
What was that? Were we hit? Did they fire at us? Oh, tell me they fired at us.
Sir, they're over 2 light-years away now. We're far out of range. We came into the gravitational range of the first black hole. They're on the other side now, and we'll lose sight of them for about an hour, maybe two, until we come out the other side. Finally, reports he could use.
What's our current speed, and what's their speed? I want to know if we'll be able to overtake them before they reach Blanchard.
Based on calculations, our speed is nominally above top hyperspeed. Their speed is currently 3 times normal hyperspeed and increasing.
Okay, will we gain on them?
Taking normal hyperspace theories into account, along with the fact that no one has ever traveled at this speed, let alone come this close to a black hole and survive, BT Justice took off his hat and started hitting the officer with it.
I asked a simple yes or no question. I don't want a dissertation on quantum physics. Will we gain on them?
The officer cowered and shielded his head from more hat assaults. It's not quantum physics, he said and ducked more. But no, we won't gain on them. We'll get there about 30 minutes after they do. 30 minutes. They could do a lot in 30 minutes. They could leave the planet again. They could hide the ship as well as themselves. They could get away, and he'd return home and have to face Petrine with his hands empty. If he showed up with the crew of the Estes Acid Rat, then he'd be able to sway the government of Bomdo to allow him to stay and not face prosecution. He had to catch that ship under any circumstances.
Open a channel to Blanchard. I need to place a call.
Justice seated his hat neatly back on his head.
We'll get them this time. Oh, yes, we will.
Something pressing into Joey's chest woke him up. A fog still clouded his mind as he opened his eyes and saw Mike sitting on him. Several fast heartbeats passed before it registered the danger.
Ah, you're awake, Mike said with a wicked smile. I prefer my food awake.
Joey reacted as fast as his mind would allow. His knee came up and connected with Mike's abdomen. A hushed curse through gritted teeth earned a wide smile from Mike. If Mike had been human, he'd have been hit in a sensitive area, but as it was, the blow only glanced off his body. With widened eyes, Mike leaned his head back and dropped his fangs. Joey gasped as the long white teeth descended. Without a thought, he wrapped his hands around the fangs and pushed up. The fangs were smooth and slippery, but only pointed, not sharp. His hand slid to the base of the fangs and kept going. This appeared to catch Mike by surprise, and the sudden burst of adrenaline that surged through Joey's body helped him force Mike's head up and into the rack above. Joey couldn't think of anything to do once he had Mike held there, only slightly pinned. Mike could think and react. He punched Joey in the stomach. Joey's hand slipped slightly, and Mike dipped down. Mike punched again and lowered more. Joey forced back and pushed Mike back up. He couldn't let the fangs come any closer. Tiny drops of poison already started to flow to the ends, yellowish drops of death. He raised his knee again, blocking another punch from Mike, and rolled his body away from the wall. This pinned Mike against the wall, and Joey nearly fell out of the bed, but he held fast to the fangs. Mike punched with 3 balled fists and knocked Joey out of the bed. He felt the air escape his lungs in one huge huff, and he bumped his head on the floor as he fell. He had to get up. If he didn't, Mike would surely kill him. Where was Vic? Dexter? June? Had Mike already killed them too? Was he the last? Too many questions and no time to stop and ask. He stood as quickly as he could, Mike still struggling to get out of the rack, his arms tangled in the blanket in the confined space.
I'm gonna enjoy sucking out your innards, boy.
Mike's foul tone frightened Joey. He did the only thing he could think to do. He grabbed the top bunk and kicked Mike twice for good measure and ran from the bunk room. He had seen Dexter asleep in the top bunk, but if Mike wanted to kill Dexter, he'd have done that already. In the passageway, Joey thought of running up to the cockpit. Perhaps Argmon could help him out. But what if Argmon was already dead? He'd be of no help. The lounge was also a dead end. He didn't like the sound of that, and turned and ran toward the cargo bay. The black smoke made it difficult to judge distance. He didn't know how close to the edge he was, and where did all the smoke come from? They had put one out, and he could see the scorched control panel that had exploded. That was the last thing he could recall. Joey coughed and ran.
The black smoke tasted oily and bitter. It made his eyes water, but he ran for his life. Mike surely wouldn't pause. Joey didn't even dare a glance back for fear that Mike would be upon him. One of the four large containers that now filled the cargo bay loomed in front of him. He could see the gap from the top of the ladder to the top of the container, which conveniently sat about 2 feet below the level of the passageway floor, was about 15 feet away. Joey had never been the athletic type, but being driven by fear and a desire to stay alive, he chanced the jump, knowing that going down the ladder spelled certain death. He kicked off the edge without pause, certain his heart stopped as he flew. When he crashed to the top of the container and his heart started up again, he tried to breathe relief, but the black smoke in the cargo bay was thicker and made breathing difficult. He coughed, trying to clear his lungs. That's all he needed was to escape a killer and be killed by smoke inhalation. He didn't have time to think about his lungs filling with smoke before he saw Mike spring from the passageway to the container. Joey rolled out of the way as Mike landed. "I love to play with my food," Mike said, the wild look in his eyes letting Joey know he wasn't fooling around. The smoke didn't seem to affect Mike. Not at all. Joey looked at the next container. The smoke wasn't so bad on that one. Mike must have lit this one on fire as the smoke billowed up from it. If only he could get up and run, but Mike would be on him. He would have to fight. He would have to fight Mike and his truly powerful spider body. It hadn't been so difficult defeating Mike by sitting on his back and pounding his head with Tootsie's metal box, but he didn't have any such luxury this time. "I'm going to kill you slowly. Don't think this will go quickly. I think I'll take an arm first. That'll slow you down. Just one arm." Mike's fangs retracted and twitched out as he advanced. Joey backed up and fell on his rear. Standing and looking at Mike's crazed expression terrified Joey, but sitting and looking at Mike? No. Eye to eye with the insane spider with a man's head? Joey gave up. He could feel the tickle of nausea, and his vision blurred and darkened. He was passing out. God, he was going to die, and he wasn't even going to see it coming. No. Joey steeled himself and sat as upright as he could. If he was going to die, he wanted to see it coming. He couldn't just take death lying down. Slow, fast, whatever. He didn't want to just fall over and let Mike kill him at his leisure. Mike crouched and sprang at Joey. Joey laid back flat, and Mike, who'd been aiming high at Joey's head, flew over him. "No!" Mike screamed and grabbed Joey's arm with one of his hind hands. Mike's flight dragged Joey along and over the edge. Joey lashed out and took hold of the edge of the container. Mike's grasp on Joey's arm slipped, but he managed to catch his leg. Joey reached up and held on with both hands as if his life depended on it, for his life did depend on it.
"Don't worry, I can hold on for both of us," Mike said with an evil laugh.
He grabbed onto the side of the container and started pulling hard on Joey's leg.
"Perhaps I'll stop by taking a leg."
Joey felt his fingers slip. He took a deep breath of fresh air. He could catch his breath, but how long would that last? He was certain he'd be dead at Mike's hand at any moment. He kicked. Joey kicked and planted his free foot in Mike's bearded face. The fangs retracted fully, and Mike pawed at his face. Joey kicked again, landing another full-force kick. Mike howled in agony. Joey had a sudden thought. He could die by Mike's hand, or die by asphyxiation. Or he could be killed by Mike, and if anyone else was still alive, they'd have to face Mike. Joey kicked again. He'd have to do something. Joey felt his foot grabbed once again. Mike pulled fiercely. Joey knew, deep down, that he was going to die, be it at the hands of Mike, this fire, or the ship plunging into a black hole because everyone else certainly must be dead. He wasn't meant to be in space. He shouldn't have pushed that button. He didn't belong here. He didn't belong back on Earth either. All those years of torment at the hands of bullies. Joey let go. As he fell, Mike pulled hard. Joey reached out and grabbed onto Mike and punched him hard in the face. Joey grabbed Mike from behind and planted his feet on the side of the container and pulled Mike off as well. Mike lost his grip, and the two fell end over end toward the hard steel floor below. Joey continued his barrage of blows into Mike's face as they fell. He wasn't going to die without a fight, and he wasn't going to end up a meal for a spider. He punched once for Brad, once for Chad, and once for Thad. Mike's face changed into all those faces that had done him wrong over the years. Joey felt them hit the floor and heard the awful squish below him as Mike's body exploded. Joey bounced off Mike's body and into the container, hitting his head and knocking him out. June sat up abruptly. Something wasn't right. She coughed and rolled out of the bunk as smoke overtook her. She stayed for several moments as she coughed and hacked, trying to get clear breath. Vic hadn't moved, but Joey's bunk sat empty. She braved the smoke and pulled Dexter from the upper bunk and dropped him to the floor. He may end up with a concussion, but at least he wouldn't die from smoke inhalation. The smoke-filled passageway blocked her vision. Even on her hands and knees, the haze blurred everything. For the first time, she closed her eyes and reached out with her mind. Always the emotions she'd felt from the others, she'd never gone in search of them. If Joey wasn't in his bunk, he could be in danger. She reached out and felt an immediate grip of terror. Not fear, but absolute terror. Something terrified Joey to the point he was certain he was about to die. June crawled to the cargo bay. Something told her that's where Joey was and he needed help. As she crawled along, his feelings changed. His emotions shifted from fear of dying to sadness, to acceptance of his peril. Emerging to the cargo bay, she saw what scared Joey to death. Joey hung off the end of one of the containers, and Mike. How had Mike gotten out Tootsie's stasis field? Pulled on his leg. Mike wouldn't fall because of his spider appendages, but Joey would fall to certain death. Then Joey let go, grabbing onto Mike as he fell. He punched and kicked and finally freed Mike from the side of the container. Both of them tumbled end over end toward the floor of the cargo hold. No! She cried out in futility. Mike punched back, but never stopped Joey's relentless fury of blows. All the way down, Joey punched and fought. June wanted to turn her eyes away, but couldn't. She had to know how it all played out. Joey, by nothing short of a miracle, ended up on top of Mike. Mike hit the floor first, his abdomen bursting and spraying yellowish gore in all directions. Joey bounced off of Mike and hit his head against the container. She lost him after that. He had to be all right. He just had to. The ladder's rungs took forever for her to climb down, and the intense heat stopped her halfway down. The first container burned and sent acrid black smoke up into the cargo hold and finally into the rest of the ship. Tootsie! She screamed. No response returned. Tootsie's systems were still tied up navigating the ship. It just wasn't worth it anymore. Not at all. Computer! Whatever your name is! The computer from the Iron Butterfly had kept the fires under control. It didn't respond either. As quickly as she could, she made her way down the rest of the rungs. Dead or alive, Joey would have to wait until she got the fire out. They kept some basic firefighting gear in the weapons room. She just hoped it would prove enough to extinguish the tower of flame that now threatened the cargo doors of the SS Acid Rat. She ran to the weapons room, grabbed the extinguisher. It had a shape like a rifle blaster, except with a wide opening at the end, and ran back to fight the fire. June aimed and pulled the trigger. Flames disappeared instantly, but still expelled a glut of smoke into the cargo bay. She worked the tool, aiming it higher and higher, but she couldn't be certain if she moved too fast and got all the flames out. The black smoke grew thicker as the fire died out. When she thought all the fires had been extinguished, she collapsed to the floor. Her eyes burned. Her lungs burned. Her head throbbed. Her muscles ached. She wanted to fall into a deep sleep and just never wake up. She couldn't do that. Vic and Dexter were still alive, and hopefully Argamon was as well. Their position in the ship demanded that she evacuate the smoke and refresh the air. She'd have to do this manually, as Tootsie, as well as the Iron Butterfly's computer, were both out of commission. She crawled and clawed her way toward the engineering room. Her body didn't want to move, but she had to. She just had to get there and flip the switch to turn the ventilators on and refresh the air inside the ship. She had... A hand grabbed her wrist. She started. She looked up the arm and into Mike's hairy face. No! I saw you die! Mike didn't respond. He had only 3 arms left. And of those 3, 2 hung limply on the sides of his decimated body. One eye twitched and refused to open, and his lips peeled back in a wicked sneer as if he could actually stop her. June shook Mike's hand free, and he collapsed to the floor. The fright had forced her to take several quick breaths, refreshing her slightly. She stood and staggered into the engineering room. The controls had been jammed, most likely by Mike, but she easily regained control. She hit the switch to activate the ventilators. Once the light came on, she saw the graphic on the screen showing the air being recycled. She crumpled into the engineering seat and passed out. A heavy bang followed by a massive jolt of the acid rat tossed Vic from his rack and onto the floor. The intense pain that shot through his body forced his tired brain to activate. The smell of smoke hung in the air. Vic rose to his hands and knees. The ship vibrated so badly he fell twice before being able to keep his balance. His entire body, down to the stem of his brain, ached. Just keeping his eyes open proved to be a struggle. But this was his ship, and he was the captain. He needed to find out what was going on. All other bunks were empty. He stepped in something on the floor and nearly slipped, but managed to keep his balance by putting his hand on the wall. Walking along the passageway proved to be nearly impossible with all the vibration. His vision permanently blurred. Vic's stomach leapt into his throat and he vomited. Again he collapsed to his knees. He could have been there a minute or an hour. He didn't know. A lurch of the ship bumped him into the wall. He sprang to his feet and began to make his way to the cockpit. Argmon needed help. Even if it was only moral support, Vic needed to be there with him. Pain be damned, he would make it to the cockpit and sit in the captain's seat until they landed back on Planchar. Nothing would move him from that chair this time. By the time he neared the cockpit, he had to crawl. The vibration of the ship was so severe that he couldn't stay standing up. He fumbled his way into the chair and took several breaths before looking at Argmon. Argmon's face looked haggard. He'd been awake for, what had it been? 2 days now? 3? It didn't matter. Argmon was not just a crew member. No one on the ship was just a crew member. They were his friends, and he'd let them down. He needed to make things right. Argmon, let's stop. Vic's voice quavered with the vibration of the ship. Argmon hadn't moved. Vic placed his hands on the pilot's shoulder. Argmon. With the slightest gesture, Argmon pointed to a small display. Vic looked at the shaky image. He noticed the blue and gold. They're following us? Through 2 black holes? Vic couldn't believe it. Something so minor as to be considered petty theft to the GCP central office, yet this sheriff still pursued them. Never had any continued pursuit off-planet, and the few that had never left their own solar systems. Never. The zealousness of this one couldn't be explained by anything other than obsession. If we stop, they'll catch us. Won't they? Argmon nodded slightly and chuffed. Either that, or we'll plummet into a black hole, so we're stuck. We need to finish this course, or we're done for. Argmon nodded. Vic massaged his temples. Too far. This had gone way too far. Tootsie. Tootsie responded with a deterring buzz. Is Tootsie tied up helping you pilot? Vic asked. Argmon nodded once. Is there anything I can do to help up here? Argmon shook his head. Once. Okay, I need to check on the rest. I want to make sure everyone is strapped in. We're almost beyond the second black hole, and we're moving fast. Once we're around it, it's a short jaunt around that neutron star, and we'll be coming in hot to Planchar. Unless I miss my guess, we'll be there in an hour. Argmon didn't respond. Vic didn't know whether to be happy or dismayed by that. Instead, he got to his feet and set out to find the others. The kitchen and the captain's quarters both sat empty. That didn't surprise him. What did surprise him was the black ceiling. Smoke had billowed up and into the cockpit. A heavy fire had broken out. But from where? Vic followed the smoky trail, slowly, and held onto the wall to keep his footing. The lounge also sat empty. He looked in each bunk and found those empty as well. On the floor, though, he saw what he stepped in. Jupnop! No! What happened to you? Who could have done this? Certainly not the vibration of the ship! Vic took the time to scoop up as much of Jupnop as he could and place his remains in a trash bag. He gently placed the bag on the rack and buckled it in. I'm sorry. Vic took a moment and tried to think of what he could have done. Jupnop couldn't have fallen apart just because of the vibration of the ship. Something or someone must have torn him apart. But who? He set out for the cargo bay. His answer had to lie there. God, let June, Joey, and Dexter be safe. With everything else that had gone wrong, he couldn't bear the thought of something happening to one of them. He knew June to be tough, but he felt more responsibility for them being on the SS Acid Rat than the rest of the crew. The rest, he'd offered to help, and they'd accepted. June and Joey merely pushed a button on a machine that his father built. They unwittingly found their way to this ship, and it wasn't fair for him to drag them around the galaxy. It just wasn't, and he intended to set things right as soon as they landed. Vic saw the charred top of the container. A huge fire had broken out indeed. Why hadn't it been put out straight away like the rest of the small fires? The computer on the Iron Butterfly had been efficient in putting them out. Why had this one raged? Unless someone disabled it. Who? Oh, God, no. Could it be Mike? Vic looked down at the cargo bay. Joey leaned up against the fire-damaged container. Joey! Vic yelled. The vibration of the ship was so loud that he knew Joey couldn't hear him. Vic made his way slowly, painfully slowly, down the ladder. 3 times he had to wrap his arms around the rungs to keep from being tossed to the floor. He worked his way up around the container to Joey. Kid, wake up. The yellowish streak leading away from Joey didn't look promising, but it couldn't be blood. It had to be from Mike. Vic confirmed this thought by the broken arms lying in its wake, as well as chunks of flesh that could only come from Mike's body. Joey had a number of small cuts on his blackened face, but he looked all right. Vic laid Joey down and felt all over the boy's body looking for any sign of broken bones or damp spots in his clothes that might indicate that he bled. Nothing. Joey looked beat up, but nothing worse. His pulse remained steady. That's one blessing, eh, kid? Vic struggled to drag Joey, and finally he had to stop. The strain proved too much for Vic's body. He had to find Dexter and June. He'd never be able to get Joey and himself buckled in time before they arrived at Planchar. A lurch knocked him to the floor. He winced as his shoulder hit the floor. Around the corner of the container, Mike sat, his body broken. Yellow goo oozed from the remains of his body. Even though Mike had tried to kill him, Vic cried at the sight. Mike had been a good crew member and friend. He'd been a little odd at times, but after a year with him, Vic felt his heart crushed by both the deception and his death. Why'd you turn out to be such a bastard? Why? Vic continued to work his way past Mike. Several times he stumbled. He laid on the floor and didn't want to get up. He just wanted to stay there and die. Joey was okay. June had to be okay. It must have been her that put the fire out. Or Dexter. Either way, Joey would be all right. He might be a little banged up on re-entry, but he'd survive. Hands rolled Vic over onto his back. Vic! Vic! The voice sounded far away, as if in a dream.
Eep, eep, eep.
Take him to the weapons room. We need to get him buckled in. I'm going to see if Joey's all right. June. She was all right. June and Joey would be all right. As Dexter dragged him across the floor, Vic closed his eyes and smiled. They were going to be all right.
You've been listening to V&A Shipping, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information about this podcast and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com. V&A Shipping is released under a Creative Commons, Attributions Only, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives Works 3.0. Feedback can be sent to jrmurdoch@ofgnomesanddwarves.com, or you can find me at Twitter or Facebook as J.R. Murdoch. There's a lot of podcast fiction out there. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one.